Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm Kylie, and welcome to I'm Kyle, and welcome to Kylie's Conversations. Warriors team fans, Manchester United, Ferdinand, and Young for saying that they're underplaying their failing manager. The conversation begins right now. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24. Think about that as kind of you're going through your day and all that. So the Ireland Republic national team manager, Roy Keane, has slammed Rio Ferdinand and Alex and Young. You know, it's crazy that he's taking Ferdinand and Young and calling them out, saying that they're not playing to their potential. And they're letting down their under-fire boss, Ashley Young, and Rio Ferdinand. I mean, they don't really have much difference between last year and this year, team-wise, except for they got a new manager. They're undefeated in the Champions League, yeah, but in the Premier League, they got embarrassed against Newcastle United. They lost. Are they underplaying? I mean, they haven't responded yet, but it's something that you have to question. I mean, they're undefeated in the Champions League, but, you know, I mean, just makes you wonder. It just makes you wonder. You know, I mean, I don't know. Being a fan just makes you think. Because some people say, well, you got to give him a chance. He's a new coach. He's doing stuff his way and yada, yada, yada. But still, they got the same players. And everything should be the same. But obviously, as you can see, it's not in the Premier League anyways. You know, I couldn't believe that Arsenal got taken out by Nepal in the Champions League. That was an incredible, incredible game. I mean, this Champions League is turning out to have some many twists and turns. I mean, the way that United is in the Premier League, I didn't think they'd be nowhere near doing what they're doing in the Champions League. And when the coach of Ireland came out and said what he said, it just made me, if he's right, do they not like David Moyse? Do they not, you know, do they don't like him? Is there something, I don't know, because I don't think he's, if he has the blessings of Sir Alex Ferguson, then, you know, something's got to be good. Whether the players like him or not, I have no idea. No, I mean, that's something that we'll have to wait to see what Rio Ferdinand and, you know, what they say, what the Manchester United players, if Ashley Young says, wait a minute, hold on, buddy. This is what's going on. He has a new style of playing. We're trying to learn his style. You know, I'm used to a zone defense, and he's a man-to-man, and I like to go in the 3 points and shoot and, you know, talking about basketball, if you're used to a zone defense and, you know, and because I'm from Indiana, so I relate a lot to basketball. You know, if you're used to this style of basketball and he switches to that and you may not, you know, whatever the case may be, I could see that, but, you know, I think we just got to wait and see what their response is, and hopefully they respond. Hopefully they say something. And it's just kind of neat, the one game when Thomas Muller, of Bayern Munich, you know, it's neat to see that there is still some human side to this, and people aren't just machines. So, I mean, it's just good to see that there is some good coming out of this. I think we have showed our human side against Sidney. We are too careless at times. It was not as if we gave away chances, but we did not look good on any of our goals. We conceded. You know, it's just nice to see people, because so much of this, and life in general, I think, gets to be like a machine, where everything's a machine, or thing, you know, and there's no people coming out and saying, "Up, oh, human." I mean, take this for example. I got my car, I have my Ford Mustang, and I got it fixed, and fuel pump. I didn't need new cars, found out from last show. But when I got it home, my mom noticed the fuel gauge ain't working. They put in a fuel drop sensor, and it doesn't work, so they had to replace it. It's like, "Oh, we're so sorry about that." You know, da-da-da-da, I'm like, you're human. You know, I guess I'm one of those people that I don't get mad. I don't know. I don't have an... It takes... If you see me mean or mad, you've done something. Because very few people have seen me... Only, like, two people have really seen me in my life mad, or three, and have really seen me furious. And life's too short. Life's too short. I mean, you know, I guess I look at life differently because I've known so many people my age or so that are no longer around. That, you know, that, and when you're surrounded like I am with death all the time and people that you've known for a long time that pass, you take a different look. You take a different look at life. I don't necessarily dwell on it, but at the same time, it's all around you, you know. And I give kudos out to people that are funeral directors that deal with it all the time. That, you know, when you're calling, it's usually not a good thing. You know, hope you're having a great day. Thanks for calling the 10 feet under the funeral parlor. How can I help you? Actually, this is a thing that's some controversy, because Bob and Tom on the show, they did a thing called the Casket Carnival. It was like a, supposed to be like a Walmart for like caskets, you know. At the Casket Carnival, you won't lose your shirt. And there are some people that, because the video's on YouTube, and some people like, that is so despicable. How can they do this? And da 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 da. And this guy from one of the funeral parlors came on. He goes, "You have no idea how many people come to me. Don't even know how they're even gonna. I mean, can I put them in my oven at home and turn the thing on clean cycle? Because they have no money. They have no idea how they're even going to cremate. Like, what's the cheapest way I can, you know, say goodbye to my loved one? I have no money." And if they're lucky, they get the $225 death benefit if they qualify. So... It was just like, wow, because I'm around there a lot, and I always look at it like the guy who plays Patch Adams, you know, that doctor, you know, you're going to die. Treat the disease. Treat the patient. Treat them all. Because eventually, the disease is going to win. But if you treat the patient, you'll always win. And that's the kind of theory I put into my life. Yeah, I have a muscle issue, but I haven't gotten worse in 5 years, so what I have is what I have, and I'll probably not get any worse from it. And I know what my body can't do, and I just try to keep going and do what I know I can do, and go as I can go. And a couple days ago, I did a Chronicle of the Arts on my book, and if you don't know what that is, where we work, people that have specialties, whether it's like quilting or carving or like it could be even making balloon animals. And you come in and you showcase what you do. I did a history drums on it. I did a history drums once and a bunch of people wanted to see it. So this product of yours came out and they did it, I did it for them, and Chet Pegg's like, well, you don't, not Chet Pegg, but Pastor Director Pegg's like, well, yeah, it's not a pay thing, and then I'm like, oh, I didn't want money anyways. I wanted to do it because of my love, and share my love of history and my love of drums, and I did one on my book, Full Lagoons, and it's a lot of fun to show, go through all the books I have and everything and what I've done in my life, and it's just hard to believe that I'm out of school that long and all this stuff, and it's just something that I take to heart, you know, because I don't want help unless I absolutely have to have it. And I think I've said this on the show before, but I'm going to say this again. No one could get elected, I think, in this day and age by asking not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? I mean, I don't mind helping people out, but when you have people, for the most part, that you find out there's a guy, I forget where it is, I think it's somewhere on the East Coast, and there's several people that are doing these. There's news reporters, and they did reports on homeless people. They have, like, I need money, da-da-da, and they wanted to see where they go at the end of the night, and what they started to find out is why these people went to a home. And one of them, they had, like, two cars. One was a Cadillac, and he knocked on the door. Can I help you? Yeah, we're just trying to find out what's going on because we were videotaping you as you were outside holding a sign saying you had nowhere to live and you're homeless. Can you explain yourself? Begging for money. And this one guy's mission is actually when he found out this guy who was a linguistics expert was basically doing nothing. And he could actually work and everything, but he just sits in his wheelchair, pretends like he's retarded, and he gets... When people get money over the year, he gets close to $100,000, and he's made it a mission to find people like that that are frauds and to call them out and say, hey, don't give this person money. He can work. And that's how I am. Yeah, I have a little muscle issue, but I can work around that, and I can stay at my job. I can bust my butt and do my work. I don't want to have help. I want to help myself. Excuse me. I don't want to help the government to help me. And when you have these people that were interviewed that, oh, as long as I have Obama, he'll take care of me. I don't have to worry about paying my bills. I don't have to worry about nothing. This South Florida woman was ecstatic when she took her two kids out of school to go to a rally to see Obama. This is the most wonderful day of my life. I never thought this day would happen. I just know as long as I have him, he'll take care of me. When did we get to a society where so many people rely on the government? I mean, we are a society that more people rely on the government than ever. Like in 2009, when those people were fighting over a piece of paper that might give them assistance with housing, what's going on? You know, I have an issue, but I want to do my own. If I want some help. I want to start a business. I want to see if I can get some money to help start this business that I can eventually repay. You know, we come to a free handout society where food stamps are not for bread, milk, cheese, and eggs, the essentials. It's for beer, cigarettes, and whatever else, you know, potato chips. I don't know if you can get that. I'm not using food stamps, but, you know, if I ever did, I would hope I would need them just for food, bread, milk, eggs, and basic necessities. You know, I kind of look at it like this. If we go the path we're going, it's not a matter of if the dollar collapses, it's when it collapses. And, you know, the biggest, most valuable thing is going to be water. And I just try to do for myself, and that's, you know, me, and that's who I am. And kind of enough about my little political rant for today, but for the week, but it's just like that girl that was trying to sell mistletoe, and they came after her for, oh, you don't have the proper permission, yada, 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 in the park, but if you want a bag or whatever for money because she's trying to get money to get her braces, she was put on the Blaze Marketplace. She has, like, 30,000 orders on the Blaze Marketplace for everyone. She hired people at $9 an hour to help her out. She didn't sit there and say, well, I guess I'm going to beg or I'm going to give up. Don't give up. I'm not giving up. You know, that's why my biblical quote of the day every day, think about that. You know, think about that, you know. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, there's plenty of corners in this world I can find and go cry, but why? You know? One thing I want to also talk about, because I used to do this a lot on my shows, is I'm planning to spend a lot of the rest of the time, because I can, in the conversation, and in the paranormal, and stuff that makes you wonder, because I don't know how many people have heard of this, but there are several people who have been, quote-unquote, abducted, taken, whatever you want to call it, and when you look into their being taken, several people have claimed they've been shown videos of what this earth is like, and basically, the impression they get is they're trying to, we're not ready to know the truth. We're not ready to handle the truth. And that we need to come to that like, the Cold War didn't really happen because there are people protecting us and keeping us from blowing each other up. You know, we need to realize that if there was, like Ronald Reagan said, if there's an alien presence among us, wouldn't our differences shrink? If we realized that there were people coming to from another world to be here, would you think, I think our differences, I mean, would shrink. Now, I don't know if it would change this part of Pakistan or Afghanistan that they've been fighting over for 50 million years, you know, if that's going to change who has the land, but they've all had the same feeling when they've left that they were given a message of, hey, we're not alone. We need to come together as a planet, as a species of humans, not, well, you're white, you're black. I mean, what makes a white or black anyways? Because I know people that are white from Africa, but if they call themselves African-American, they'd be, look at that racist. He's not even black, and he's calling himself African-American. And then the guy, my buddy, can pull out his passport and everything and his birth certificate from Togo, Africa, or whatever, and, huh? And they wouldn't know what to say, you know? And it's just, it makes you wonder, because there's actually a video on YouTube, and it's a documentary, and it was from the 50s and 60s, and there were a ton of people from Italy, and some of these are high-end scientists that would literally be putting a knife in their heart, per se, with their career if this were lies. And they said that, oh, we've been in, there have been several people that were chosen, and have been in communication with the extraterrestrials who say that we're not ready to know the truth, that we're not alone in this universe. We're not ready to handle the truth and what's gone on. And long story made short, he said, like, well, if you go out at this time, you can see these, videotape these things flying around and stuff, and there's actual old, like, Super 8 black and white film where you can see a guy filming an object flying around through the sky, and it just makes you wonder. Because these guys are, like, very high up, and they basically talk about how they're here to protect us from blowing each other up, and if you look at a lot of the people that say during the height of the Cold War, there were all these objects that were flying over the military base. And these seven nuclear rockets that were all hooked up, when one went, they all still worked. Well, why did they all go offline and all this? And just makes you wonder. Because some of the things that you hear from these people that leaked stuff from Hey, I was in the military, and these objects that we cannot explain were flying over this military base, and this is the height of the Cold War. We didn't know what it was. Was it Russians? Was it this? And then you hear this stuff in Italy where these people have, and other people have come forth and said, you know, when I was taken aboard this craft line, these aliens were trying to send me a message that we're not alone in the universe, that they're here to protect us and guide us. And it makes you wonder. But then at the same time, I've had experience with ghosts. I've seen things. You know, I've seen there are people that I know that are atheists who moved into a house, and because of the things going on there, now they're a believer. I mean, my belief in life outside my planet will never diminish my belief in God. So, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, if it was just an airplane at Area 51, why couldn't they show it? When you look at some of these SR-71 Blackbirds, and when they were unveiled, like in 71 or like 72 or whatever, and you're like, okay, when they unveiled that plane, it was saying, okay, this is what we had. Thank you. Really? So that was developed how many years ago? Who would have thought a plane like that was capable? I mean, I've seen some planes over races and stuff, and stuff where this is a real plane. It's actually been unveiled. I'm like, I wouldn't even think this is possible now. And, oh, yeah, this was unveiled 10 years ago, and this was developed in the 70s. You know, we have made such a ginormous leap in technology in the last 100 years than we ever did in 300, 400, 500,000 years prior. It just makes you wonder. It does. It makes you think. You can't look at that Ancient Aliens show, the program, and go, whatever, none of that's true. That couldn't even be, that could never have happened. Really? None of that? They have no leg to stand on when they have huge stones that are diorite, that the only thing stronger is diamond. So everything in this had to have been carved with a diamond-laced tool. And some of it is so precise, you would think a laser did it. And even they've even taken and tried to, I saw a special where they tried to actually, they diamond etch stuff, and then they tried to weather it and stuff, and they said after doing lots of wind and weather tests and water tests on it, they believe that they don't know what this is carved with, because it, the carving, when you look under a microscope, this is diamond etched, and the edge is definitely 100% different than this. But the only thing that they could have carved this with is diamond, because they didn't have power tools back then. They didn't have electric. They didn't have, you know, lasers or anything. So it just fascinates me, because it's mysteries that are so unexplained. When you have, like, Christopher Columbus on his ship coming over here, and they talk about how things came in and out of the water. I didn't think they had helium balloons back then. I don't think they had planes back then, you know? And when something goes up into the air, not down, it can't be a meteorite. Because, of course, since there's nothing flying, it has to be some sort of space debris coming down, like a comet or meteorite, you know, pieces of it falling, you know, but when they see something come out of the water and go up, you know, like they say, to think that we have we have mapped Mars more than we've mapped our Earth, because there's tons of water on the Earth. And then now this is one thing I don't know. I saw this the other day about where they're supposedly asking for people, I don't know if you have to pay or not, to make a trip to Mars to try to colonize it. We've had people that just go up into our atmosphere here, into space, and come back down and have died on space shuttle missions. And you tell me that you've got a ship, if we can't even successfully every time get a man from Earth up into the space around our Earth in space, and back down safely every time. We can't do that yet. but we're going to get them to Mars. Sounds a little weird to me. And I honestly think that this NASA program is going privatized for a reason. Because through NASA, it's a government agency. I want my Freedom of Information Act. There's a lot of people that they said they're having these government contracts done and stuff done by companies. Because if this company is developing this, then we can't come after them for Freedom of Information Act. They could say that Area 51 is run by this agency or whatever, an undisclosed company, and even if you found out, I can't go. Freedom of Information Act doesn't necessarily work, but if it's like a military installation, you can ask for Freedom of Information Act, and they would have to try to comply somehow. So it just makes you wonder. I mean, I just was thinking about that, like, the other day. All night, like, well, two missions to space have resulted in people dying. But we're going to somehow colonize Mars? We're going to get people to Mars? I don't know. I don't see it. I just like, all of a sudden, we haven't really gone back to the moon. If anything, try to colonize the moon. You know, try to get people up there and live. That's closer. And if you can successfully do that, if you can successfully pitch tents and have people live on the moon, then, okay, then, you know, I don't know. Is the publicity stunt? Is it a reality TV show? Because, like, the technology as I know it, it would take, like, 6 months or whatever, plus to get to Mars. And what, like I said earlier, where's this technology coming from? We have made such a huge technological leap and bound in this last 100 years than we had in the 1,000 years prior. It makes you wonder where we're getting this technology. And not that if humans are that capable, like some of these people said, well, what, are humans not capable of doing this? Never said they were, but why are we making this jump from horses to colonizing Mars in 100 years? Okay, 120 years we've gone from horses as the main means of transportation to now people wanting to colonize Mars, where now we have this situation where, oh, well, that's... Well, you say humans aren't smart enough? Humans aren't good enough? Humans aren't smart enough to come up with that? Well, okay, well, that's, I didn't say that, but if that's the case, then explain the 1,000 years prior where we didn't make that big of a leap, where they walked and rode camels and donkeys and horses and all that for many, 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 many years. They didn't just go from horses to trying to colonize Mars and 1,000 years, so how can you expect that in 100 years or 120 years? Makes you wonder. That's why I started doing paranormal shows, because, you know, I've seen both sides of the spectrum. I've seen what I know to be a ghost now, but I've also seen objects in the sky that defy my knowledge of physics. That, okay, I kind of know what would physically kill a human being. And I've seen an object in the sky do that. You know, when it does a 90-degree turn and does things and appears here and disappears and reappears here, it is an unidentified flying object. I can't identify it. It doesn't mean it's from Mars or outer space or has extraterrestrial. That's pretty much near the end of my show. I want to thank you for listening in and being a part of the conversation, and I'll see you next week.